Let's turn, please, to the last chapter of the book of the Revelation. Nice to see you all. May the Lord bless us as we gather around His Word. Let's turn to the last chapter of the book of Revelation. I have mentioned to you, perhaps you remember, that the chapter divisions that we have are not just ideal. They can prove a little confusing in trying to understand what is being said. So, I'm going to start reading in the chapter 22 at the verse I think the chapter should start at, because it takes us to an entirely different subject from that which was being dealt with just prior to it. We're looking at verse 6. Verse 6. The first five verses of chapter 22 really belong with what is found there in chapter 21. It ends at 27, but it should go on 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. That would bring us to verse 5 of the chapter 22. And this is where I think we should have a chapter division, but it's hardly likely that anybody is going to pay much heed to what I'm saying and print a Bible with new chapter divisions, but you just remember what I have said, and you will understand with less difficulty what is being written here in the closing chapters of Revelation. We're reading then from verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Now those opening words in verse 7 tells us who it is that's speaking here. I come quickly. It's the Lord who's speaking in verse 6 and continues on here in verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he, that is the angel, unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Now, don't fault John too much for doing what he was doing. He was wrong. But please understand that the angels of God are most wonderful beings. Most wonderful beings. If one were to be seen amongst us today, we would all of us, be terrified because of the glory of the being of the angel. And we may well, in fact, I'm sure we probably would do what John did. We'd fall down to worship, to honor. But the angel said, don't do that. Worship only God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. We'll end our reading there. We're coming to the end of this study that we have been engaged in since the beginning of the school year back in September. The subject matter has been throughout the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're drawing to a close by considering the words of the Lord Jesus here in this last chapter of the book of the Revelation, especially those words in which he speaks about prophecy. He speaks about prophecy. Throughout our study, I have sought to impress upon you the importance of studying prophecy. I've tried to press that upon you. You would get nowhere in this school or in any other school, and you certainly would get nowhere out there in the place of employment if you did not have the ability to count. If you did not know that 1 and 1 is 2, and 2 and 1 is 3, and 3 and 1 is 4, etc., etc., etc. If you did not have a grasp of the whole process of addition, multiplication, and division, and subtraction, you would run into the greatest difficulty. Day by day in the school, how would you get on with lessons? You couldn't do that. If you left the school and went out to work, how would you get anywhere? Is there a job that doesn't involve, to some measure or other, adding, subtracting? You wouldn't be able to do anything if you could not add and subtract and divide. So, in like fashion, I would place prophecy in a place of importance when it comes to the study of the Word of God. And I feel more and more and more it is going to become important. It's going to become ever more important. And I think that it's not surprising, therefore, at the close of the last book of the Bible, the Lord Jesus has some very important words to say about prophecy. Now, whatever the Lord says is important. You can't dismiss what the Savior says. And especially when you have the last words that he uttered to his church by way of revelation. These are the last words Christ wrote to his church. That makes them important. That makes them important. Makes them extra important. The nation has been thinking very much, and I'm sure you're aware of this, of the ending of World War II. And there have been many programs and articles written about the matter. And there have been folk come forward with little mementos from back then. And among the mementos have been letters from soldiers, sailors, airmen, who died in the war. The last letter that they sent before they were killed. And I want to tell you, the families treasure those letters particularly, because they're the last words written by their loved one before they were taken away. And in like fashion, I want you to place great importance upon these words spoken by the Lord Jesus in this last chapter of the last book of the Bible. Because, as I say, they are the last words that he uttered. Listen to what he says in verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Here he is, about to close the canon of Holy Scripture, as we call it, and he's talking about prophecy. And particularly he is saying, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. You can only keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book if you study them, if you understand them, if you know what they say. If you're standing out there in the playground, and sometimes I watch, you know, from our window, and I see you all, and the teacher has you all lined up. Maybe you're doing some exercises, races, or whatever. And the teacher has you all lined up and says, now here's what I want you to do. And I watch. And there are heads looking toward the teacher, but here and there there's a head looking yonder and upward and around and everything else. Not listening. And the teacher says, okay, right, off you go. And whoever hasn't been listening doesn't know where to go. They have no idea. And they just follow the crowd somewhat behind. Well, you can't obey the Lord. You can't be blessed by the Lord. You can't really benefit from his word if you don't study it. Read it, and read it carefully. The first thing I want you to notice about prophecy, and the Savior here states it very clearly in the verse 6, the very first verse we read. Look, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. That's the first thing. Listen, boys and girls, this book is true. It is faithful and true. Paul the Apostle said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That is, worthy to be accepted by everyone, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God's word's faithful and true. And that's what the Savior says at the very end of the Bible. He puts this stamp upon the Bible. It's true. Never doubt the Bible. Never doubt the Bible. There are many out there in the world, and they see it as their task to get everybody to doubt the Bible. They see it as their task to get everyone to reject and refuse and despise what the Bible says. It's out of date. It's irrelevant. It's the superstitions that men once held. We now live in an enlightened age. So enlightened that we murder each other, we murder children, we destroy ourselves with drugs and with drink, we kill ourselves on the road. These are all the acts of an enlightened people, aren't they? No, never doubt the Bible. The Lord Jesus tells us that it's true. What the Bible says about God is true. It's His self-portrait. He tells us what He is like and who He is and what His plans and purposes are. Men may come along and say, oh no, here's what God is like. But I'm sure you would somewhat feel offended if you were to express your opinion about something. Here's what I like, you might say. And someone comes up and says, oh no, don't listen to them. They don't really like that. You'd say, how do you know? How do you know what I like? What right have you to say what I like? You've no idea of what it is I delight in. But there are folk who come along and they would contradict God. Contradict Him as to what He has to tell us about Himself. What right has puny man to do that? He has no right, of course. And if he only would think of for a moment, surely he would recognize this is a most foolish and stupid exercise. For me to dare to repaint, as it were, the picture that God gives us of Himself in His Word. Whatever the Bible says about God, you believe it. Whatever the Bible tells you about yourself, you believe it. The Bible says that you're a sinner, you believe that. You might be inclined to say, I don't like being called a sinner. I'm insulted at being called a sinner. You might well be insulted, but it nevertheless is true. It's not unknown, you know, for people to go into a doctor's surgery to hear reports regarding some recent examination that they have gone through, and the doctor to sit them down and say, listen, I have some very serious news for you. And the doctor then to indicate that he has discovered that they are very ill. There's a disease at work in their body. It's not unknown for that person to say, that's not true. How dare you say that I'm suffering like that? That I am as sick as that? I don't accept that. It's not unknown for people to get up and abuse the doctor and storm out of the office. But it doesn't change the fact that that person is sick. They can't leave the sickness in the office, despite their anger. And when God says we're sinners, God's right. And the history of mankind, and the lifestyle that we see recorded every day, indicates very clearly how sinful man is. When the Bible speaks to us about eternity, the Bible's right. Bible's right. Men say, oh, when you die, that's the end. The Bible doesn't say that. It is appointed unto man once to die after this. The judgment. The judgment. Oh, there's more. We have to stand before God. Whatever the Bible says, boys and girls, is true. We'll end it there. May the Lord bless His word to your heart. Let's bow in prayer. Take our thanks, Lord, for Thy precious word. We embrace it as true. We ask Thee, O God, that in mercy Thou wilt create in the hearts of each one here a holy reverence for your word, and a submission to it, for Jesus' sake. Amen.